How old was Mr. Van Horn?
I think he was in his 90s.
So, let's lift up Gail and the passing of her father last evening there in Texas, and let's keep L. Jean in prayer and all of their family, and keep you in prayer as well, Brandon. I'll be in touch. So let's keep the Van Horns in our prayers. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, we thank you that your name, and your name alone, is the only strong tower we have. You are the only rock upon which we stand. You are our stability. You are our security. In the midst of the changes and situations that happen, the news we hear that shocks us, we understand full well that life can change with one phone call. And we just thank you in the midst of all the chaos that we do have a strong tower. When all the world seems to be shaking, we thank you that we have a sure foundation. And we come to you asking that you will be with all those that we have lifted up. My heart goes out to the Van Horn family. We lift up L. Jean in particular. We lift up the three children and their families. We just ask that your spirit would draw close and give comfort and strength. I pray the same for the families of George Bell and Peggy Drinkard and the ones involved in the senseless shooting last evening. We just thank you in knowing that even in the midst of death, we serve the God of life. We thank you that you hold the keys to hell and death, and because you live, we can live. Because you tasted death, that we can, even in the midst of our physical death, cling on to life, eternal life. We pray that that may be our comfort. Be with others that are just needing a special touch. We think in particular of Steve and Danny, of Valerie and of Richard, and of the one that comes to our mind at this time. We pray your blessings upon all. We thank you for an opportunity that we can come together to remind each of your goodness, to be strengthened by our presence one with the other, to be encouraged by your word, and to find you as we receive the sacrament that you said you would hide yourself in. We thank you for all your many blessings, and we thank you above all for Christ Jesus, our greatest blessing, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. You'll look with me to the front of the bulletin. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and fill a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use the 13 verses of Psalm 85 to call each to worship, and we'll stand and sing Hymn 111, The Love of God. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob.
You have forgiven the iniquity of your people and blotted out all their sins.
You have withdrawn all your fury and turned yourself from your wrathful indignation.
Restore us then, O God, our Savior. Let your anger depart from us.
Will you be displeased with us forever? Will you prolong your anger from age to age?
Will you not give us life again, that your people may rejoice in you?
Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for he is speaking peace to his faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to him.
Truly, his salvation is very near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land.
Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield with its great things.
Righteousness shall go before him, and peace shall be a pathway for his feet.
Amen. First lesson is from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 15. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall filled with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel.
With you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. who has made us your children, and as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. And he vowed to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, up to half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, truth, be with you. Have you ever wanted something really badly? I mean, you just needed to happen. I may be dating myself, but I remember about every November, I would see the new catalog come in. You remember Sears and Roebuck catalogs. But the new catalog would come with all the recent toys and things, and it was a Christmas catalog. And I remember going through there, dog-earing pages and circling things that I want and praying that Santa might have mercy and find those dog-eared pages and know exactly what I wanted. Ever wanted something real badly? Have you ever wanted something real badly and you got what you wanted and you realized it was not all that great? You know, our life, if you think about it, tends to be surrounded around nouns. Our like and dislike of nouns. If you remember your grade school or high school grammar lesson, what is a noun? It's a person, place, or thing. And our likes of persons, of places, and of things tend to fluctuate. Let me give you one other question. What's the greatest thing you've ever received? What's the greatest thing you've ever received? Well, if you can't remember, I'm going to remind you this morning. Or rather, I'm going to let St. Paul remind you as we look at one sentence. Verses 3 through verse 14 of Ephesians 1. It's just one sentence in the Greek. And what it tells us, if you look in verse 3, is that we are beloved. We are blessed. We are blessed. We say that a lot. I mean, we might say, have a blessed day, or somebody sneezes, and we'll say, bless you, or we'll just say, I'm more blessed than one man can stand, or we'll just talk about blessing. Do you know what the word blessed means? it's a wonderful word. It's used a dozen, almost 20 times in the New Testament. It's the Greek word eulogatos, and it means, and I love this, to be adorable. You know, each one of you, when you say you're blessed by God, you're saying, God finds me adorable. Don't you want to be adorable? You may not be adorable to a whole lot of people, but you are adorable to God. And that's the greatest thing we have. God finds those who are in Christ. And that word in, as you listen to Brandon read, is mentioned in every verse except the last one. Over and over, it's in Him and in Him and in Him. For those who are in Christ, God thinks we're adorable. There are probably things in your life you think are adorable. And it's no difficulty to interact with those things. You may have a hobby that you just love more than life. And it's not a chore to be a part of your hobby. You may have a situation, a group of people, a person, maybe grandchildren, it may be whomever, that you think are adorable. And you relish in them. They are blessed by you, and you are blessed by them. And sometimes we make this thing about Christianity just too heavy. Just too heavy and too tedious, and we talk about all the doctrines and dogma. You know, I think all that's important. But when it comes down to it, it's as simple as saying the gospel is simply, God finds you adorable. And Paul shows, using each person of the Trinity, why that's so and how that's so. And if you'll look with me in Ephesians, we'll look at this. Each person of the Trinity is used by Paul to outline how we are blessed, how we are found adorable. The first thing is in verses 4 through 6. We see that we are chosen by the Father. We are chosen by the Father. In verse 4, he says, from all eternity. Can you wrap your mind around the fact that there was never a time where God didn't desire? There was never a time. For all eternity, God has found you adorable. He has chosen you. Some of you may remember situations in school where you're chosen. And they're very painful times for most of us. I remember I went to a school that thought dancing was sinful. So they never had Sadie Hawkins dance. But I heard of them, and I just thought it would be an ideal thing for somebody who's introverted. But then again, I think that would be difficult to be standing across the gymnasium wondering if you're going to be picked. I do know what the feeling is to be the sort of doofy fat boy when the boys are picking teams for softball or basketball, and you're standing there trying to act nonchalant like you really don't care if you get picked or not, but underneath it starts to feel pretty lonely when they get down to about two people and you're one of them. And we spend our life, if we're not careful, really wondering, does anyone care? Does anyone find me adorable? And what Paul says here, you are chosen by God the Father. There was never a time in all eternity where God didn't want you. And then in verse 5, it tells us that we're adopted. We are adopted. And to be adopted means that you take one who doesn't have the entitlement, who has no rights to the family fortune or the family name or privilege, and you choose to bring them in, giving them full rights. John 1 tells us that we have the authority, the power, to be called the children of God. not because of any decision we've made, not because of the will of man or because of the will of the flesh, but because God found pleasure in you. It's not hard for God to love you. We sing Jesus loves you. And sometimes we think we have days where we sort of press that. I've even prayed, but it's theologically not a good prayer. It's more a reflection of the contrition. But sometimes I've even said, Lord, I bet you're having a hard time loving me today. But you know the truth of the gospel? Is God never has a hard time loving you. He's loved you from the beginning with the perfect love. He chose you from the beginning. He not only wants you to be His, He wants you to be His son, His heir. And we see in verse 5 and 6, He does it for His pleasure and for His praise. You know, one of my favorite pictures in the Bible is at the beginning of Job, when God and Satan in this story are talking. And anyone who's been a proud parent can relate to this. Anyone that's been a proud grandparent can relate to this. But they're just shooting the breeze, God and Satan in the story. And out of the blue, God said, hey, have you looked at my boy, Lot? Not Lot. Have you looked at my boy, Job? He's something else. I want you to understand, and it may be different than sometimes how we understand the faith. God the Father sits around with the angels, and He calls your name. And He says, hey, look at my daughter. Look at my son. Aren't they something? Aren't they wonderful? And you say, well, I'm not that righteous. Let me remind you, the scripture says that there's more rejoicing in heaven over a sinner who's doing the best to do it, get it right, than it is over 100 righteous people. And it's interesting that it doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. It says that the rejoicing is happening in front of the angels. So I just picture Father, Son, and Holy Spirit around finding such joy in the ones they've adored from all time. So the truth of the matter is, you've always been chosen and desired by the Father. The second thing we see in verse 7 through 12 is we are redeemed by the Son. We've been purchased by His blood. We've been declared holy in Him and presented holy by Him. Again, not because we deserve it. It's not because you're good. It's because you're His. He chose you. And therefore, the Son redeems the ones the Father chooses. So because God chose you and wanted you, the Son had to die and shed His blood so you could be His. It's not because you're good. It's because you're adored by the Father. James says, listen, didn't God choose the poor in the world to be rich? He didn't choose the good to be, or the wealthy. He chose the poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. You not only are His, but because of Christ, you get everything that Christ gets. Everything that the perfect Son who obeyed obediently received, you receive. You're co-heirs with Christ. How much? Well, let me put it in just a plain way. You know how sometimes with your earthly parents, if you really want to ask them for a favor, we do this with others. You sort of, you don't butter them up, but you try to do something nice for them. You clean your room and you are respectful and you do good stuff. So, because you're getting ready to make a request, you want to earn brownie points, right? They ask just in a non-theological way, how many brownie points do you think Jesus, the perfect Son of God, earned with His Father? I bet He's got a slew of brownie points because He never disobeyed once. He was perfect in his obedience. He was perfect in his sacrifice. He's got a treasury of merit that won't quit. And what the scripture says is because you were chosen in him, in the Father, and redeemed by the Son, you get everything Jesus gets. One of my favorite commentators, a Scottish commentator from the 18th century, said it better than I can say it, so let me quote Alexander McLaren. We may have as much of God as we want. Christ puts the key to the bank's bullion store into our hands and tells us to take all we want. If a man is admitted into the vault of the bank's gold bullion and comes out with only one block, whose fault is it if he's still poor? See, God's given us everything in Christ. It's ours. And because of that, we rejoice in this greatest blessing. And then the final thing is we were not only chosen by the Father, Paul tells us, and redeemed by the Son. It's not going anywhere. See, the problem with our victories is we'll win, but then we're always fearful we're going to lose again. We can succeed, but then we're always fearful that we won't be able to maintain it. We might have a good day today, but then we're fearful that tomorrow it all might go to smash. But with the blessings that we have in Christ, we don't have to worry about that. Because we're chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and the final thing he says in the last couple of verses, 13 and 14, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're not going to lose these blessings. We're not going to lose the goodness. We're not going to stop being adorable. If you don't know, in this culture, when the king would send something, he would put a seal on it. He would put a wax, melted wax. Then he would take his signet ring or coin and put a seal on it. And that seal did two things. One, it showed identity. It said, this is mine. This document, whatever I'm sending, telling you this is mine. Leave it be. This is mine. And we know, not just by creation, that we have the image of God upon us, but by Jesus Christ identifying with us and we identifying with him in baptism. When God looks at us, he says, that's mine. I see my imprint. But the other thing that that seal did, it not only showed ownership, it guaranteed arrival. It guaranteed that it would get safely where it was being sent. Browning said that the earth changes, and we know it does. We hear it every day. The earth changes. But Browning says, but thy soul and God stand sure forever. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're not going to lose it. We remain. I'm going to read a poem since it's an important theme in this passage of adoption. It's an important theme in general of adoption in Scripture, that he's adopted us as his children. And we're his and we're safe and secure. It's written by a woman about earthly adoption, about how she adopted her child. But as I was reading it, I thought of what Jesus said when he said, you earthly fathers and mothers will take care of your children and do right by your children. And remember what he said? How much more so your heavenly Father? And when I read this poem, I thought, if that's true on an earthly, human level, how much more so is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, saying these words about you because they find you adorable. So as I read this, I want you to picture and hear God Almighty saying this about you. It's called Forever Grateful. In a world full of endless possibilities, We searched for a treasure, a love that would cease. Our hearts intertwined, yearning to share a bond that transcends a love so rare. Then fate guided us on a remarkable quest, and in your eyes, dear child, we found our crest. With open arms, we embraced your sweet soul, a love unbreakable, making us whole. We picked you, a gift from above, a precious gem, filling our lives with love. In our hearts, you'll forever reside. You are our cherished child, our joy, our pride. Through life's ups and downs, we'll always be near, guiding your steps and wiping away every tear. Adoption brought us together, forever we'll stay, a family united, come what may. So know, dear child, you were chosen with care, a testament to the love we gladly share. In this journey of life, hand in hand we'll stride, forever grateful. Our love for you cannot hide. See, we have nothing to worry about. Because the greatest thing in your life, the greatest blessing you have, is that God Almighty finds you adorable and will forevermore. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
Orchestrating God, we rejoice to thank you, for in Christ you have made known to us the mystery of your will. According to your good pleasure, you have shown us your plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in your Son, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ you have bestowed upon us an inheritance that we, who set our hope on him, might live for the praise of your glory. You have marked those who believe with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit as a pledge of your redemption, and so we anticipate the fullness and that glory by joining the angels in the everlasting song of praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be you, God our Father, for you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before you in love. You destined us for adoption as your children. Send down your Holy Spirit on your people, that through the power of your Son's dying and raising, we might know forgiveness of our sins and the riches of your grace. As you bring us redemption through the blood of our Savior, sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you.
Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Covenanting God, in David you show us the ecstatic joy of being your companion and the coruscating delight of being your child. As David knew the scorn of his wife, Michael, bring solace to any who live with the disdain or contempt of family, neighbors, or colleagues. As your prophet John the Baptist faced the price of his courage and Herod's folly, give perseverance and hope to all who face danger because of their faith or their witness. Raise up prophets among your people who can see and name what does not belong with you and can shine the light of your truth in the nighttime of fear and oppression, until the day when all sorrow is turned to dancing and all creation emanates the praise of your glory, then in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. Yesterday, my mother and I took a little road trip to visit some folks. And while we were driving, we had a conversation that maybe you've had. And we were talking about, and I was asking about all the friends through the years that she's had and I've had. And some remain. Some have passed on. Some faded away. You know that phenomenon, don't you? Friends that you may have had, and for reasons you may not even know, they're just no longer there anymore. The whole point of the gospel is summed up in that wonderful hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Coupled with his promise, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Because, brothers and sisters, you are and always have been adored by God. You always will be. And you have one friend. As we remember, as we come forth to receive and adore him, who truly would rather die than live without you. And because he did die, he will never live without you. For we remain in him, tasting eternal life, because he tasted death for us. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come and to receive this immeasurable gift of his eternal love for you. He is our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast. Thank you. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us above and beyond all we can think or even imagine. As we sang earlier, if the oceans were ink and the skies were canvas, and everyone was a trained writer, we could never express our appreciation and praise. For the reverse is true. It also could never contain the extent of your love that goes to all people. While we were still sinners, you love us in a way that we'll never understand, but through the power of your Spirit, we'll also never forget. And for all eternity, we will praise the one who loves us. We ask all these things in your most holy name. Amen. Let us stand and sing a very fitting hymn as we close. Hymn 104, Amazing Grace.
Amen.
stumbling, and to present you faultless before the throne. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and honor, all power and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.